You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev, the number one Chevrolet dealer in Canada since 2015, based on Dealer Raider's customer review site. Stop in, say hi. Right now, 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles. That's Lakewood Chev. Very disappointed that he found out Breton crackers were not manufactured in Breton. LT, I haven't laughed in a long time since getting an errant email yesterday, so thanks for the laughs.
No problem. Anytime I can help.
I didn't know anybody still ate Breton crackers, so listen, good for you.
You know, just because you don't have them doesn't mean they're not wildly popular.
Now, you've been around a long time. What do you make of Terrell Davis? 4 great years and that's it, and he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, you know, I mean, that doesn't seem like a lot. If you look at the NHL, Bobby Orr basically had 10 years, and if you wanted to really, you know, slice it, probably 8. I can't remember the exact number. Sandy Koufax had how many years that he was Sandy Koufax, but he was brilliant. I don't know. I guess the average great running back has what, 10 years? So this is half of that. It seems a little shy.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but for you, if you're voting, you look at the greatness he did during the playoffs. I mean, we already said with games, players with more than 5 games in the postseason, he was 142.5 yards per game. To me, and he was a Super Bowl MVP. He was a league MVP. It was a short run, there's no doubt, but he was exceptional. It wasn't just good. He was exceptional. Does that not count for something?
Sure, and I think that you know there's peak value, and he obviously had tremendous peak value, and then there's career value, and John Riggins, I guess, had a long career. Somebody like that who ran, you know, not necessarily for spectacular number of yards, but ran for a long time. But I guess I would need to know, and I understand the idea that football is a shorter career. I feel like that it seems a little bit less than what would be required. Then again, as you say, he was on the biggest stage and he performed at just a ridiculous level, and maybe that puts him over the top. I mean, I'm not terribly against it. I'm just surprised by it.
Al, a few other things. The Eskimos against the Tiger Cats. And obviously, we've talked at length about the injuries and everything to the Eskimos. But this season keeps going like this. You'd almost, like, if the Eskimos win 13 games with all these injuries, you pretty much have to write Jason Moss's name as Coach of the Year, regardless of if they win the Grey Cup or not.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that I think it's ridiculous to have Riley not as the MOP. And I think that the CFL power rankings that they have the Eskimos second is ridiculous. So all of those things are true. Tonight, I feel like by the end of August, we'll kind of know about this team. But I think what we already know is if they were healthy, we'd be talking about I think Edmonton Eskimo fans would be very excited about this team. I think they still are, but you sort of wonder when this tremendous winning streak is going to end, because not necessarily because of how good they are, but because of how how many injuries they've had. And I mean, I give Moss great credit, but also the GM, the former GM, because they clearly had the kind of depth you need to win a championship.
I've heard you speak on your show about games that scare you. If you're an Eskimo fan, does this game or should it scare you?
Well, it didn't until Awonik started talking to me. I was fine. You know, they lost 60-1 to Calgary.
Oh.
And I understand they had a fight and all that, but they're not good. But I do understand the idea of I don't think the Eskimos are going to look past the Ticats, but I think a lot of those guys are going to be playing for not just professional pride, but maybe their jobs, and that might include the coach. So I think we'll get their best effort. I just don't – there's something wrong there. I thought they'd be a good team this year. Their quarterback has no time, and he's got the Jimmy legs now because he can feel pressure even when it's not coming. They've got some issues. I don't think they're going to win tonight, but, you know, it'll probably be a lot closer.
Now, we're into August,
yep.
And, you know, the Edmonton Oilers, their roster is, barring a major change, I think, is pretty much set. We had Ryan Strome, spoke to him today, and he talked about, you know, what the opportunity. He said something interesting how, you know, players that he's talked to say, hey, the coaches really like to push offense, they teach offense, and he says that's something different for him. which is that comment really caught me today. And I wonder, what are realistic expectations for Strome in your eyes?
Well, I have it. It all depends, because we have to do this now, Jason. As you know, with McDavid on the team, it's, you know, is he going to play with McDavid or not? And I think he will play some with McDavid. If he plays a lot with McDavid, I think he'll score over 50 points and maybe even 60. If he plays third line center and doesn't get a lot of power play time, then it'll be somewhere around 40. That's my guess. I think people are underestimating him a little bit. The Islanders, they're a strange team. They do weird things with entry level contracts where they start, you know, maybe even playing mind games or sending guys out halfway through it. Sometimes they don't get feature minutes in their third year. They're an unusual organization, and I'm not saying he's going to be you know, a guy who comes here and just explodes or goes crazy. But the Islanders are one team that have seen a lot of their top, you know, four or five overall picks struggle with them, Niederreiter being a recent example, and then explode when they went to a different team and maybe got a little less of that unusual coaching. And I do think they, Capuano was a coach that had some unusual things. I think a guy like Strome may be a hidden gem. I'm not saying he will for sure, but I'd say, depending upon whether or not he plays with McDavid, I'll say 40 to 60 points.
You know, it's funny. You listen to the comments of the players, you know, any player, and I think a lot of time, you have to read between the lines, because what they say is sometimes what the coach is telling them. So I know that he spoke to Todd, and he said Todd didn't promise anything or something of that ilk. But he did refer to the fact that San Jose Sharks use guys in multiple positions. And I think that, would it be fair, a low tide, to say, you know what, maybe we don't necessarily have to look at point production of Strome or point production of Puljujärvi or point production of Lucic, but look at the package. You know, what does the package look? Because there will be guys floating up and down the lineup depending on who they're playing at. So how do you look at the numbers and say, okay, well, you know, Strome, we want 60, but if you get 50 and the team actually finishes first, let's just say, for instance, in the Pacific Division, isn't that better?
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And it depends on like if Leon plays on his own line.
Right.
Depends on what line you're playing in. If you're playing with McDavid, the Oilers are, they remind me now, and I more and more the way Shirelli's putting this team together, they kind of do remind me of a combination of the Bruins and the San Jose Sharks. Their fourth line to me is going to end up being at least one big guy, and then maybe a smaller guy. Back when they won a cup, they had Daniel Paille playing with Gregory Campbell, and sometimes Marchand would come down there, and Thornton was the right winger.
Right.
And that's the fourth line, but there was always somebody coming in and out of the line to make it fresh, and you can see what Todd McLellan has now, and I think there will be a significant amount of, I think we'll see a lot of players playing up and down the lineup, and Cajula is the one that I can't find a spot for, and maybe that's good for him. Maybe he ends up, you know, rolling up and down the depth chart and gets more playing time.
And it's interesting because, you know, I think that as teams go up, you're going to see, there's no doubt Connor's going to get his points. And, you know, I'm assuming Leon, maybe, you know, the young D-man or not so young Klefbom, he's going to get some points. And Cam Talbot's going to get his starts. But I think you're almost getting to a point where, yeah, their points are key. There's no doubt about that. But how do they gel together to win? And you know, win and play correctly every night and get the job done. Power play, penalty kill, first minute, last minute, you know, all these different things. And I think we're shifting away from the days of, you know, can Jordan Eberle get 25 goals or 30 goals to now, what does this team look like all the time? Because, you know, as long as you're getting average productions out of guys with the depth they're getting, you should be kicking this thing down the line. And maybe that's where you go from second round to maybe third, or do I even say Stanley Cup final? Is that too easy to put it that way, low tide?
I think what it points to is improved depth, where
sure,
you don't have a weaker spot. I remember, and you will too, because you're not as old as me, but you have a fantastic memory. You remember when Krushelnicki scored a ton of goals on the Gretzky line, and then the next year he was sort of a checker, and I think he went from like 90 points to 46 or something. And that can happen on really good teams. I saw Krushelnicki both years. It wasn't like he was playing poorly, but his role was completely different. And I agree with you, Jason. I think that could be a guy like Strome could easily be that guy, or Nuge. Maybe Nuge jumps up or back. What I really do like, though, is that they've got I'm going to say two or three young players who, if they emerge, if they can actually play at a higher level and add some offense, Kajula, Slepyshev, Puljujarvi, and maybe we include Strom in that because he's not that much older, but guys who maybe we don't know how much offense they have, if they can start pushing a little bit, and I think we saw Slepyshev do it and Kajula a little bit in the postseason, man, if you can get scoring from more than one or two lines, if you could get that third line scoring at a reasonable rate or outscoring at a reasonable rate, to more to your point, then you've really got something.
LT, have a great long weekend. Enjoy the Breton crackers and marmalade.
I will.
And we will chat with you on Tuesday.
Well, and on Monday, I'm driving up to North Battleford because I got to go get me is it a Dairy Queen or a 7-Eleven? I can't remember what I want to get there, but I'm hoping my groin will be okay.
Yeah. Watch those groins, buddy.
Watch out. Struz might have the mumps, evidently.
I'll know how to fix it. You come by my house and I'll rub it out.
You know what's funny, Al? You're old, and even you don't pull a groin driving in your car.
You know what? I swear to God, if Spreadwick was wearing that goofy sweater, it would be a perfect photo.
the groin. Yeah,
which one, though, Al? Can you be more specific?
Actually, if you do go back there, pick my groin up. It's on the side of the road in North Battleford Dairy Queen.
I don't want to hear any more rubbing, so I'm going. Boys, have a good weekend.
Take her easy.